Hey everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser Podcast. I'm Veronica Belmont.
I'm Tom Merritt.
And we are here at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes, we are.
And we're testing out today. So if anything's weird with the audio today, which is entirely
we
possible.
We have new excuses.
New excuses this week. We're actually using this Belkin portable podcasting device that you plug an iPod into. And then you can actually use XLR cables with your microphones and plug them directly right into this device and it records to the iPod. And so it's really good to take on the go, or you don't even need to use microphones. It has a built-in mic and a built-in speaker. So if you're recording like an interview or taking it away on some kind of business trip, you can just bring this little guy with you. It's not compatible with iPod Touch.
Or iPhone.
Okay. So that's a big problem for me.
It is the first time I've used my old iPod.
It's in handy, right?
Yeah, I had to go and charge it the other night, but it's actually a pretty handy use for that 60 gigabyte drive that hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of little audio nerdery things here on this device. I mean, you can adjust the gain to auto high or low.
We will be talking about Watership Down.
We will eventually. Yeah, I'm just kind of
we're a little fascinated with this.
They gave it to me at Revision 3 to test out, so it's kind of like, well, I wasn't doing Texilla at the show. So, hey, Sword and Laser.
All right, I'm for it.
Why the heck not?
Plus, we actually get to record Sword and Laser with both of us in the same room.
That's nice, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. It's quite nice.
We can actually have a conversation, not be like, wait, is he done talking? Or can I talk now?
Did I make her mad?
Is she mad or is Skype broken?
Did she just hang up or did we lose our connection?
So we're here in my hotel room at the Hilton in Las Vegas. And it is 110 degrees out, first of all.
Oh, man. Yeah, sweltering.
It's funny.
The bunnies would not like it.
The bunnies would not be amused. No, I was talking to Scott Johnson from The Instance and Extra Life Radio, and he was like, it's like driving through the Barrens. If you play Warcraft, you would get
that. I saw his Twitter about that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I'm like, it's very true. We're at crossroads. Las Vegas is just a fancy crossroads.
It is.
But I just finished Watership Down just now.
Minutes ago.
I actually was like, oh, man, we got to do a podcast. I got to go upstairs and finish reading the book first, actually.
It's good, though. It's fresh in your head.
Precisely. And it was just as good as I remembered it being. And I know it was kind of a departure for us because we haven't done... It's typically defined as fiction as opposed to something fantasy.
Than fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, but it does have elements.
It definitely has fantasy elements. I mean, the idea of bunnies being able to talk to each other and have mystical experiences and...
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't say that what Fiverr is experiencing isn't some kind of paranormal...
And there was some controversy amongst the Sword and Laser crowd about that element that we'll get to in our discussion here.
Very good. So how did you enjoy the book?
First time I'd read it. I'd seen the movie when I was a kid, but I'd never actually read it, and I loved it. It totally pulled me through. I commend Richard Adams on his ability to really set up a tale that you want to read the next bit. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I had to put it down, I was like, ooh, I got to get back and find out what happens next. It's a very classic tale in that way of pulling it through. I thought the characters were developed well. I thought the characterization of the rabbits was quite ingenious. I mean, I sort of knew that from the movie, but, you know, this idea of them communicating, but them having their own rabbit way of communicating rather than just making it a total anthropomorphism.
Yeah, I agree. I loved the characters. I loved Bigwig. He was probably my favorite.
Is Bigwig your favorite?
I think he's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Hazel, but I felt like Hazel, while he was very clever for a rabbit, he just didn't get a lot of the stuff that some of the other rabbits got, and that kind of annoyed me, especially him as being leader. I felt like he should have been a little more clever as the
good delegator, though.
Good delegator.
That's a sign of a good leader right there.
And Fiverr was kind of weird sometimes, but we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, the interactions, the rabbit behavior is one thing that I felt was extremely interesting in that they didn't, as I mentioned, try to anthropomorphize everything. Mm-hmm. They had their own, a little bit of rabbit language, didn't overdo it to where you got confused.
I could have used more. I would have been happy with a little bit more of the rabbit, of the lapine.
The lapine? Lapine.
Yeah.
But it definitely added a flavor to it. And then some of their misunderstandings of things, their ways of, like, you know, coming across something where it was, they just saw it as the big mushroom and it was actually part of a tire or something.
Sorry, apparently I have a text message. I'm sure you all heard that.
Do you need to get to that?
No, I'll check. No, that's cool. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
All right. But you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just rabbits who knew everything about everything. Like, the world of men was so fascinating seen from that perspective, because he does a great job of making you believe that that's kind of how rabbits would see men, as these sort of dangerous, inexplicable beings that are best stayed away from, but aren't totally dangerous like an Elil or mm-hmm. Elendil. Is that?
Elil.
Yeah. The folks that eat you, essentially.
<Pretty much>.
I think is the definition for that.
A lot of smokers in the English countryside.
Yeah, it seemed like every human had a burning white stick in their mouth.
Yep.
I guess it was back in the day.
Yeah,
more people
back in the day. Or Vegas, maybe.
If also the rabbits were similar. In Vegas, they would have found that true, too.
They would have, yeah, they would have seen a lot of that as well. So we had some reader responses.
Yes, we did. Mike started a thread about the stories of El Herrera. These are the sort of interludes between Hazel and Bigwig's adventures where they stop and tell a story.
Yeah, you know, I didn't love those. That wasn't my favorite part. I always kind of wanted to get back to this rabbit story, like their actual what was happening at that very moment. The backstories, sometimes I got bored with.
I think Mike kind of agrees with you. You want to go ahead and read his comment?
Yeah, he says, I think my favorite segments of the book are the stories about El Arara.
El Arara.
Arara.
Yeah,
he is quick and clever, not above a prank or two, and fiercely loyal to his people. In many ways, his stories reminded me of the Monkey King from Journey to the West. That would be, I can't pronounce.
I don't know. The Monkey King.
The Monkey King.
That's good enough for me.
And he said, although to be fair, El Arara.
It's supposed to be said like never say die. So El Arara.
El Arara.
I think how I would say it.
Arara.
El Arara. Him. El. Just call him El for short.
Okay, we'll call him El. Why do you think Adams put these segments in? Do you think just to fill more pages? Does the addition of the mythology add depth and meaning to the rabbit society and characters? What do you think? Well, Mike, I think all those points are true, that all that you say is very likely that he did it to bring more depth to their backstory. However, while they were cute and clever, I wanted more, like I said, of what was actually happening at that very moment.
Definitely the first time you came across one, I was like, oh, we're really going to hear the whole story?
Yeah.
I've been happy with the chapter ending and then coming back, and then the story was over. But I found them very clever, because every one of them foreshadowed what was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There was
always some element
of the mythology that was similar to the events they were about to hear. So when El Arara deceived the king,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what Hazel had to do to get through the next situation. I thought it was very clever, and I got used to them. And you sort of have to enjoy them in their own right.
Right.
So,
right.
They are a very well-done mythology. I mean, you can believe that this has been handed down from rabbit to rabbit for
ages.
That's
true.
You know,
that's
it really
true.
Has that feel to it.
You definitely get that sense. And then Shimmer says, I thought of the mythological trickster at first, but I think El Arara is unique in that he uses his trickster abilities to protect his people. I like how the stories add a mythology to the rabbit culture, but also seem to encourage and inspire them to solve their own problems creatively. Yeah, which is what you just said.
Yeah, it's a very, very similar there. And the trickster occurred to me, too. That's a really mm-hmm. good point, that mm-hmm. Loki, sort of element to El, but then he is much more than that. He is the main rabbit mythological feature.
That harkens back to American Gods.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they talked about Loki and American Gods.
Yeah, they
too.
Do. You're right.
So that's the second story that we've had a kind of trickster mythology thing going on.
Absolutely.
Look at us making relationships between other books.
Yeah.
Very
now
fancy.
That we've done enough books, we can actually start doing it.
Yeah,
that.
Right? And then Sam, exclamation point.
Sam!
Says he's disappointed in Fiverr. I feel like Adams made a promise to us as his audience. He's presented us with a warren of rabbits, living in what seemed to be our world, doing all the things that real rabbits do, except for Fiverr. He's the one who starts us on our journey and ultimately moves us along throughout the entire novel. Sandalford, Cowslip, the Fox, Hazel shooting and rescue, even his blessing of the trip to Ephrafa. In each scenario, his predictions turn out to be spot on. Adam's promise was that this one outside force, Fiverr, was there for a reason that would be made clear before the story was finished. My question is simply, did he keep Did he keep to his promise? Do we as an audience believe in Fiverr as a rabbit of the Watership Down Warren? Or do we view him as a storytelling mechanic used to take us from act to act? Why is it that Fiverr alone, with the arguable exception of one of the Effervescendos, has this magic ability? And further, is this ability justified?
Well, I think what Sam is pointing out here is whether this is fantasy or fiction, or just regular mainstream fiction, because Fiverr is that fantasy element.
Yes.
He is the shaman, right? So, yeah, you have a warren of rabbits with a tiny bit of human element, in other words, talking to each other, that you have to suspend your disbelief before. And what Sam is taking exception is, okay, I suspended my disbelief to be able to hear
to
what they're saying
extent,
to each
yeah.
other. But then having them have a mystical ability is something that I don't even believe humans have. So I'm supposed to believe that a rabbit has it, and that was too much for him.
Right.
But did we have the same problem in the last book we read, where there were elves living in Boston?
But that's different.
You know,
because that is definitely a fantasy book. You
right.
know, that is like straight up, this is a fantasy novel. This is frickin' elf punk.
It's elf punk. Yeah, this is not, and Watership Down is not elf punk. So
no.
I don't know. It didn't bother me, though. I definitely had the same thought occur to me, like, oh, am I okay with Fiverr having visions? But I kind of decided right off the bat, like, okay, who's to say that his visions aren't just totally coincidental?
Who's to say that rabbits just aren't psychic?
He just had a premonition.
Do we
yeah,
really
sure,
know?
Maybe not.
We
yeah.
don't know. They're rabbits. They can't talk to us. They could have visions all the time. We just don't know.
And so it definitely goes into, I guess, how you think of the possibility of that sort of thing existing, even in humans, whether you're going to accept it here.
Yeah, I pretty much accepted it. I kind of got behind it. Man, the way I'm talking about this book, it seems like I really didn't like it at all, but I loved it.
Really?
But every
well,
part
sometimes
I keep getting to.
That's the thing, is when you really love a book, you become extra critical about the parts that you didn't like as much. Nick W. said, I found Fiverr added a large amount of interest to the story due to how very dark his predictions were. The hill covered in blood, the ceiling held up with bones. But even though he added interest, he did seem simply like a tool to guide the story along. It seems like Adams tossed the other doe in Ephrafa in so as to say, see, he's not the only one that can do this. Mm-hmm. I would have believed his abilities more and seen him less as a tool if all of the rabbits had some psychic ability. Fiverr's just being extra strong. Perhaps Fiverr discovered a worm that excreted a powerful spice.
Mm. So what you're saying is that Fiverr is a tool.
He did say Fiverr was a tool.
He said it a couple times.
Yeah. He's just a tool of the shaman.
I don't think Fiverr's a tool.
No, not at all. I think the hardest part with Fiverr was when he collapsed in the final battle and was just laying, and they thought he was dead. I was like, really? He like convinced them he was dead? Like, that seemed a little overwhelming, a little pushing it too far.
I think he was just kind of comatose at that point. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of went like full on Tharn, just like.
Well, he went more than Tharn. He went over Tharn.
Yeah, he over Tharn. I just want to point out that I've used Tharn in a sentence, like, outside of the book club this past week. I think I said it to you, though.
We used it in the panel that we
did
at New Media
Expo.
We did. Just to describe ourselves looking at the audience.
Like, we're Tharn.
We're going Tharn.
We're going Tharn.
But yeah, I thought this was really good. I'm glad Sam and Nick and the other folks on the thread brought this up, because Fiverr is the exceptional rabbit without which you don't have this story.
And then the baby... The little baby rabbit, he had the ability too. Remember,
right.
He saw the horse coming.
Mm-hmm.
He remembered the horse coming.
And then that showed that this was not limited to Fiverr. He wasn't just an
exception. I didn't mean remembered. I meant foresaw.
He remembered ahead of time.
He remembered ahead of time. He remembered in the past.
He remembered in advance.
Exactly. So there were metaphors. Adams has said that he did not intend Watership Down as a metaphor, but I think there were some parallels that could definitely be drawn.
Sure, as with any story, I mean, you can if it's a good enough story, you're going to find parallels to.
I mean,
to
it's
real
really
life.
If you think about it, rabbit versus rabbit, rabbit versus nature.
Rabbit is nature, so it's
rabbit
versus
God. Rabbit versus man.
Rabbit versus that horrible general. Yeah. From the other Warren.
Wait, that's not a usual literary...
It is now.
It is. Man versus General Woundwort.
Man versus... You know, the classic story of man versus Woundwort. Well, and let's
that's
talk
not really a metaphor,
let's
though.
Talk about Woundwort, because I think that Warren is probably where the people want to draw a parallel to human society the most, uh-huh. right? The organization of it as a totalitarian society,
which it absolutely
was, a militaristic
yeah.
dictator
mm-hmm.
Who made it very unnatural and very unrabbit-like. And obviously, when this was written, it was closer to the time of communism, the Soviet Union. Still in recent memory was World War II and Nazi Germany. But I think a lot of people, you could see it as an anti-communist rhetoric, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. But I see more of, well, less communism, definitely more totalitarian kind of dictatorship.
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
Well, a lot of people saw Stalin as a totalitarian dictator.
True, yeah.
But you could also see Hazel and his Warren as a communist.
They were more communist,
society
definitely.
As well,
yeah,
right? As the ideals of communism, where there is a chief rabbit, but you know everyone.
Do you think
is
Richard Adams is a secret communist?
Well, and I think that's why he said, "Look, I didn't have an agenda here. I'm just talking about bunnies." Okay.
See, that's we can spread any kind of ideal just in bunny form. That's all we need to do.
Right.
If you want to spread some kind of, I don't know.
We'll come up with our own Watership Down sequels.
Because in my story, all the bunnies come down from outer space, and I'm not allowed to use any medicine with the bunnies, and I'm making a Scientology uh-huh. joke.
Yes. Oh, and the bunnies have actually been around forever in
right,
spirit
right.
form. And
I've got like bunny energy inside of me, and that makes me sick, and I have to purge it. I hope I'm not offending any Scientologists in the audience. Too late.
We kid. One metaphor, though,
we
that
love science fiction.
I found very, very interesting on Wikipedia is the parallel of the hero's journey. And any good story is going to have elements of the hero's journey, which is the pinnacle of the hero's journey, the template, perhaps, is the Odyssey. Homer's mm-hmm. Odyssey mm-hmm. is often seen as like sort of the template for any kind of journey story. And this is obviously a journey story. From Wikipedia, it says, Tolkien scholar John Ratcliffe calls Adam's novel an Aeneid what-if book. The Aeneid being the story of Aeneas leading the Trojans after the fall of Troy on a sort of odyssey to settle in Italy in mm-hmm. the Latinate. And he says that Watership Down is a little bit what would have happened if Cassandra had been believed, and you see Cassandra, who warned of destruction as Fiverr, saying, you know what, we need to get out of here because the Greeks are coming and they're really just going to kick our asses.
Yeah.
So if he had been believed and if a company had fled Troy being Sandalford Warren, before its destruction, what if Hazel and his companions, like Aeneas, encounter a seductive home at Cowslips Warren, or Land of the Lotus Eaters? Ratcliffe goes on to compare the rabbit's battle with Woundwort's Effrophins to Aeneas's fight with Turnus's Latins. By basing his story on one of the most popular books of the Middle Ages, says Ratcliffe, Adams taps into a very old myth, the flight from disaster, the heroic refugee in search of a new home, a story that was already over 1,000 years old when Virgil told it in 19 BC.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's not like he just ripped it off and
yeah.
you're like, yep, oh, everything's exactly the same. I mean, it is told very creatively. It is told with the belief that this is really a series of rabbits, but that template that we tap into is there behind it.
Absolutely. And there is a sequel that
yes.
I didn't know about.
Tales from Watership Down.
Until just now.
Yeah, he wrote that. In some ways, he wrote it to combat allegations of misogyny, because the does do not really figure into this story a lot, and some people have criticized that. So in Tales of Watership Down, he tells more tales from more of the mythological tales, more tales from the Warren, sort of side stories, and more tales that involve the does to show their importance in the society.
That's good. I think I'd like to pick that one up, too.
Of course, you can also go read The Private Life of the Rabbit by British naturalist Ronald Lockley if you really want to find out the underpinnings of this. Another reason the does don't come off so well, perhaps, in Watership Down is the does don't come off so well in Rabbit Society.
Sorry.
So you can find
Sorry,
out just
ladies.
How true that is or not by reading Ronald Lockley. But this is really interesting. I'm actually thinking about picking this up and reading it because I want to see all of this behavior that he worked into the story.
And I'd love to see the movie again now.
We should. of a viewing.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I would. I totally want to see it again.
Oh, we should get. I wonder if we could do a Sword and Laser meetup in San Francisco and do a viewing somewhere. I
wonder where we could do that. Yeah,
I don't
we
know.
Should put that together. That's a great idea.
Well, if any of you guys out there in the Bay Area know of any places where we could do something like that, email us at theswordandlaser@gmail.com. But in the meantime, hey, we have a contest going on right now.
That's right. So we've got our entries in, got a lot of good creative entries.
We did get a lot of entries. Should we read maybe a sampling?
Yeah, let's throw out a few. We're going to post these up on the website.
Right.
A selection
of
them.
How many do we have? We've got like 15 or 20 right now, actually, which isn't bad.
Yeah, pull some out of there. Let's see what
we
got.
Okay. Barry writes... With a last look at his charred fingers, the man in black mounted his horse, brushed the ashes of his brothers from his duster, and rode off into the sunset of mankind.
Of course, we forgot to explain, this is the last line.
It's the last line of a fictional science fiction or fantasy book that you have made up in your head.
This is brilliant because it does raise a whole lot of questions like, why are his fingers charred? Why are his brothers in ashes?
Why is he on a horse?
I want to read this book.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Good
I like
job,
that
Barry.
One. Todd writes in, when that command remains, no matter what happens to its officers, he has not failed.
Oh, that's
Ooh.
Really intriguing. Yeah, what is the command?
I only read the italicized part.
It's still pretty intriguing.
There's more.
What's the other part?
The flag still flies, and on the plaque below are graven the words.
Oh, okay. All right.
When that command remains, no matter what happens to its officers, he has not failed.
It's a computer. When that command is F disk. No, I'm just kidding.
Alt F4. And Craig writes in, and when the dust cleared, the people came out and beheld the new dawn. Wow, a lot of death.
A lot of dust and death.
A lot of dying, guys.
Very ashy and dusty.
That's how you like your books. Dark, huh?
Yeah. Well, people die in the end.
Sometimes. Hazel did. Spoiler! You better have read it by now.
Better read the epilogue.
Oh, crap. It's still part of the book. Anyhow, let me see if I can find another one. CG writes, Constantine writes, as the blood moon rose in the East Emperor, Thorlok faced his colossal army and pounded the war drums. Doom was at hand.
Yeah, Doom's always at hand. Gotta watch that Doom.
Gotta
but
watch
that's
that
the ending? That
yeah,
sounds
that
like
sounds
a
like
setup
a,
for a, that's like
a
cliffhanger.
On this one.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can pick out one more. Oh, this one's good. Michael writes, with palpable relief, Schumann slumped over the rail, waiting for the pool of magma to close over the briefcase, and reflected to himself that he still hadn't had a cup of coffee.
Now we already have a device that carries through the entire story to the end. That's brilliant.
That's awesome. But we have many, many more, and we'll put them all up. And that's going to be the biggest poll I think we've ever done.
Yeah.
When do we even stop? I don't know how to do this. I guess we have to do a poll, huh?
We could do a selection.
We could lump them.
Yeah, we could do a selection and then say, like, these are the finalists.
Yeah.
If you want to be dictatorial.
All right, yeah,
about
then
it.
We'll be dictatorial and pick five that we have so far, and then we'll put the five up to a vote. So thank you for everyone who's written in.
Yeah.
We'll put up the polls up. This weekend, and then we'll get the voting started on that. And what was our prize again? Our fabulous
Logitech headset.
Woo woo!
Which is a very fine headset that I use myself, as does Veronica.
As do I. That is true. So if you want to get in on the action, email us your one closing line outro to a sci-fi or fantasy book of your pretend choosing, and send it in to theswordandlaser@gmail.com. And of course, if you're listening to the show, you already know that the website is swordandlaser.com, and our Ning forums, where you can join in on the discussion of the books we are reading, is at swordandlaser.ning.com.
Next book will be chosen by me, right?
Oh, yeah, it's your turn to be dictator.
We're doing a dictatorial. We got to squeeze this one in before Neal Stephenson comes out in September.
Oh.
So I will decide on that very soon.
That's getting close.
Post it up, and then we'll do an introductory episode for that.
Okay, excellent. Sounds good.
I got some ideas.
Hopefully the audio will be good on this show. We really hope so. It sounded okay when we played back earlier, so who knows?
We'll see.
Anything's
hope
possible.
Hope you heard all this.
See you guys later.
Bye.